Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Danielle Lazarova and we begin with a brief domestic news bulletin. Prime Minister Yuri Parubek says he wants to meet with the opposition Civic Democrats in order to agree on the terms of a referendum on the EU constitution. The Prime Minister said he was prepared to back the Civic Democratic Party's bill on a one-off referendum on the EU constitution on condition that the referendum was held simultaneously with the 2006 general elections. Mr. Parubek said the Social Democrats were willing to abandon their drive for a general referendum law in order to open the way for a plebiscite on the EU constitution, but he said he could not compromise on the term of the referendum, since the country could not afford to waste money on two votes within the space of a few months. Controversy has arisen over a judge President Václav Klaus has asked the Senate to approve as a constitutional court judge. Pravo reported on Tuesday that Pilsen regional judge Vlasta Formankova sent a pub landlord to prison in 1980 for insulting a group of communist functionaries and expelling them from his pub. The publican received a 10-month jail term, later shortened to 6 months, and the sentence was annulled after the fall of the communist regime. While the judge today insists that she acted correctly, the landlord says it would be immoral if she was appointed to the Constitutional Court. Torrential rain and hailstones have damaged homes and property in many parts of the Czech Republic. Insurance companies say they have received hundreds of compensation claims from people living in the south and east of the country. The town of Kojice, southeast of Prague, was particularly badly hit, with some hailstones the size of hen's eggs. Although meteorologists had warned of approaching torrential rain, the locals said they had no idea what was coming. Within an hour, there was a 30-centimeter layer of ice on the ground, an eyewitness said. Mud water from the fields now fills many streets and alleys. There is damage to field crops, farm animals, roads, the sewage system, and even the river embankment. The damage is estimated at several million crowns in Kojice alone. Sports now. Czech tennis players Radek Štěpánek, Jiří Novák, Tomáš Berdych, Robin Vick and Eva Birnerová all progressed to the second round of the French Open in Paris on the opening day of the tournament. But the most famous Czech at Roland Garros was hockey player Jaromír Jágr, who turned out to support his friend Radek Štěpánek, who is the Czech men's number one. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. Wednesday is expected to be a warm and sunny day across most of the Czech Republic, with only partly cloudy skies in places and day temperatures between 20 and 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news. You're tuned to Radio Prague and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up, migration and related issues. We'll be taking a look at how the Czech media perceive events in neighbouring countries and finding out what makes the Roma music festival Chamorro special. And in Czechs Today, Jan Wellinger will take you to Masaryk town in Toronto, Canada. Don't go away. Migration is one of the major issues of our age, as millions of people every year attempt to escape poverty and conflict and build a better future for their children. Migration is also one of the main themes of a conference of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, taking place all this week in Prague. The OSCE's current chairman in office is Slovenia's foreign minister, Dimitri Rupel. He says that today it is devoting a lot of attention to former Soviet republics, where he sees a parallel with events further west following the fall of the Berlin Wall.
The movement that has started in Europe, in Central and Eastern Europe, the movement is spreading, the movement is going eastward. And whatever has happened, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago in Central Europe, now is happening in the Caucasus, is happening in Ukraine, is happening in Central Asia. So, I have hope that through these more or less gentle repercussions, conditions can mature that will make migrations a free enterprise.
One issue that's a big concern in countries like the Czech Republic, Slovakia, is human trafficking, because these countries are used as transit countries. Could you tell us a little bit, please, about the OSCE's project or strategy against human trafficking?
Well, human trafficking is certainly a very serious problem. Also, on our borders, on borders of Czech Republic, on borders of Slovenia, you are faced with these problems. Human trafficking is founded or stems from, originates from poverty and from distress and from a lack of civilization, well-being, industry, technology, economy, practically. If you cannot sell products, you sell people. And this is a terrible situation that we can try to stop with administrative means, but I think that more should be done in another way, you know, with economic development.
Last week, the German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder was in Prague, and he insists that the 7-year transition period for the free movement of labour will have to stand, that Czechs and Slovenians and so on won't be able to work in Germany until 2011. Many Czechs resent the fact that they can't work in most EU countries. How is that issue perceived in Slovenia?
If I try to be funny, I would say that we hope to have a different government in Germany. But of course, this is a more serious matter. I hope that certainly that the 7-year transition period will not stand. There is no need for that. And as we have heard today from the German politician, Ruta Süssmuth, the so-called modern developed Europe needs assistance from other countries. It is treating the new members of the European Union as secondary citizens, and certainly in Slovenia this has not been well received. We still have to explain to our citizens that this is something that will pass. And in fact, our people do not have tremendous problems in finding employment if they want to have an employment in Italy or in Austria, in neighboring countries. But still, in principle, it's wrong.
The acting head of the OSCE, Slovenia's foreign minister, Dimitri Rupel, there talking to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. In 1989, at the time of the collapse of communism in Czechoslovakia, most of the international media focused on those events. Even later, during the process of transition to democracy, the Czech Republic occasionally caught the attention of the world media. Today, 15 years after the fall of communism, events in this country have disappeared from the front pages of the international press. Why is that, and does this lack of interest work both ways? Are Czechs interested in what's going on in other countries? Martin Mikula reports.
A year ago, the Czech Republic, together with 9 other countries, joined the European Union. That was probably the last event in this country to attract the broader attention of the foreign media. At that time, the huge EU enlargement aroused interest in Central European countries in general. But today, the situation is different. As the Prague correspondent of the French newspaper Le Monde, Martin Plichta, says, French readers prefer to focus on local issues and in terms of international events are more attracted to other regions.
For French media, it's still Africa and, of course, all Europe. And after, it's America, of course, on some conflicts in Iraq or Afghanistan or some problem, international problem in China or in Korea. But Central Europe is so normal and so quiet that there are no interest.
The situation is a bit different in neighboring countries. You find a lot of articles about Czech events in the Slovak media. Also, Polish newspaper readers are quite interested in what's going on in the Czech Republic. On the other hand, in Germany, the Czech Republic's biggest neighbor, Czech events usually do not get so much attention. Anneke Hudala from the Sächsische Zeitung, a newspaper in the Saxony region which borders with the Czech Republic, says people there are rather interested in things related to convenient shopping than in more serious matters.
Well, of course it's different, but I think that in Saxony most people are interested in how much is a gallon of gas. I mean, everybody wants to go there and get gas. Or people are interested in the supermarkets, anything, but they just want to profit from the lower prices in the Czech Republic, but they are not really interested in what Czechs live like or what people do here.
Anneke Hudala says that although Czechs are more interested in Germany, the media here also does not focus on real-life stories.
Well, I think, of course, they are more interested in German affairs than vice versa, because Germany is more important for the Czech Republic than the Czech Republic is for Germany. So when it comes to political things, of course, there's more in the Czech media about Germany than vice versa. But actually, I'm a little bit disappointed by the fact that there are very little texts about the way of living in Germany, about students, about elderly people, about the whole situation. And in my personal experience, many people have totally wrong ideas about what living in Germany means today and what kind of country Germany is.
Perhaps it is natural that people tend to be more interested in the hot news from distant, more turbulent regions than in ordinary stories from countries close by. On the other hand, in the light of an integrating Europe, it is quite ironic how little we know and how prejudiced we sometimes are about our own neighbors.
Martin Mikulaj, thank you for that. Now, from the world of culture, the World Roma Festival Camoro opened in Prague once again this Tuesday. The seventh festival of Roma culture will last 1 week, with a high point being a gala concert in Prague's Lucerna Ballroom on Saturday. Jerka Halkova reports.
Camoro, meaning a little sun in the Romani language, is a well-known international festival and a feast of Roma art and culture. Brazilian, Indian, Polish, Ukrainian, Czech and many other Roma musicians will play traditional gypsy music in numerous Prague clubs.
The festival has become very popular, as was already proven at the opening concert of the French gypsy jazz band Shine, which was completely sold out. Czechs appreciate the rhythms of gypsy music, which, says Michala Dvořáková, one of the organizers, adds a special flavor in every country.
You can see in their music the same roots, you can feel something of Roma roots there, but at the same time the music is very different. For example, if you hear the group from India and then the group from Finland, it's something completely different, but at the same time it has something common. There is a lot of talented young Roma musicians, but they are playing non-traditional music. They are playing some pop or hip-hop and they want to perform at Camoro, but it's not about that.
Various exhibitions play an important role at the festival, including displays of puppets, textiles larger than life portraits or glass painting. And Roma craftswomen will show how some typical gypsy scarves or pictures are made in the Roma shop in Prague's Nerudova Street, the only one in Central Europe. For the first time in several years, Camoro is featuring films on Roma themes, looking at Roma and their struggle against intolerance in Czech society. Is there hope for change? Michala Dvořáková.
We are not crazy. We don't think that with one festival we will change the world. But slowly people can change their opinion. For example, my dad, he is a good man, you know, but he only knew gypsies from the tram 22 from the center of Prague who are stealing the whole day. And the first time he went to Camoro, it was because of me, because I was working there. And he was really shocked. He was surprised because he even didn't know there exist such a musicians.
The approach to issues of inclusion of Roma in society has been slowly changing in the last few years. How this change has manifested itself in university education will be discussed between non-Roma and Roma university students, whose numbers are rising.
La 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 la
A special feature of Camaro this year is the Day of Hungarian Roma. The program includes presentation of films, exhibition and performances by Bela Horvat's six-member group, famous for its strings and clarinets and cymbalon soloists. Musicians will entertain passers-by at the parade on Thursday at noon in the center of Prague. All participants will march in traditional costumes. Each band will introduce itself and play a few songs. There will also be Viera Gondolan from one of the oldest musical Roma families in the former Czechoslovakia. And here is a taste of her music.
Jarka Halková there reporting on the Roma Music Festival Chamorro, which is currently underway in Prague. And I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it on Radio Prague in the coming days. Czechs Today are scattered in many parts of the world. And for this week's edition of Czechs Today, Jan Wellinger takes you far from the Czech Republic all the way to Masaryk Town, Canada.
Písenička česká, ta je tak hezká, tak hezká.
There are probably few Czechs or Slovaks in Toronto, Canada, who haven't at one time or another visited Masaryk Town, a famous Czechoslovak haven originally founded on what was once outlying farmland, but is now part of the so-called megacity. For almost 60 years, Masaryk Town and its governing organization, the Masaryk Memorial Institute, have helped keep alive Czech and Slovak traditions in Canada. Politics, culture, as well as recreation and sport, all form part of a unique tradition. Before there was a Masaryk Town, there was simply an idea to find a place where Czechs and Slovaks living in Canada could meet and where Czechoslovak culture could thrive. It was early days, the mid-1940s. Members of the community in Toronto, many of whom had belonged to the National Alliance helping raise money for Czechoslovakia or even sending sons to fight in Europe during World War II, could now turn to domestic issues. At the top of the list was finding a place in Toronto. Jan Travníček, until recently president of the Masaryk Memorial Institute, explains that organizers agreed on two early sites.
They purchased a large unused hall downtown, and that was community center for Czechs and Slovaks here in Toronto for many years. While that thing was prospering, they wanted to have some outside of city recreation center, so they purchased a rundown farm in Scarborough, far away from the center. That's basically the beginning of Masaryk Town as such.
At the time, the site, which covered 60 acres, lay more than 20 miles outside of Toronto. Records show it was accessible only by a single unpaved road, not exactly pleasant traveling. Even today, when highways cut through the area, it still remains out of the way, though surrounded by hotels and glass office buildings in the distance. But arguably, it's worth it. The site is a veritable oasis in the middle of the city, a park, a place for summer camp and swimming, and much more, continuing to bring together expatriates for significant events, even hosting Czech members of parliament, Czech ambassadors, and the Czech president in the past. Other notable visitors have included famous Czech entertainers like Jiří Suchý or Valdemar Matuška, a lion of a singer who is one of the most well-known personalities to have emigrated from Czechoslovakia.
Bíle, mám tě rád. Zkouším křídou psát. Pojď se mnou, lásko má, tou dálkou k nám.
Many Czechs and Slovak families still gather at the Institute on an annual basis to honor long-held traditions, commemorating, for example, the founding date of Czechoslovakia or the birthday of Czechoslovakia's first president, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, whose ideals organizers espoused when founding their institute, in his name.
They were very much, we may call it somehow sentimental, or Masaryk was admired, and that man couldn't make any mistake in their eyes, and he was it was typical Czech approach. They made of the leader somebody who could never make any mistakes and so on. But anyway, it was a symbol of establishment of Czechoslovakia and so on. O smyslu návratu
do rodných hnízd. Nowadays, much of the patriotic fervor has waned, and it's not all that difficult to understand why. Following the fall of communism in 1989, some Czechoslovak Canadians, especially first generation born in Canada, lost some of the impetus to gather. Many, after all, could now return to their homeland to hear spoken Czech. They could reacquaint themselves with their homeland personally. Some visited, others came back to live. I asked Jan Travniček how the Institute dealt with this shift in interest, and he admitted it wasn't easy, that indeed many younger Czech Canadians were losing touch with their heritage, many no longer speaking Czech, some no longer even interested in their roots. On the other hand, he argued that even Czechs and Slovaks who followed after his generation, for example in the late 1960s, also had different opinions. Often new émigrés tended to be less socially active in the group.
That's quite a difference, of course, because those who came earlier, they were still, that spirit of First Republic was with them in many ways, which wasn't quite that way when the people later on came in, and especially in the volunteer work, there the old-timers, you may call them, including myself, we were quite willing to spend lots of time, of hours, to work with the organization and help here and there. It's a little bit more difficult to get such a devoted volunteers now. We still have some, but it is not quite the same.
At the same time, there is no question most émigrés shared opposition to the regime that had driven them out. To this day, a statue titled Crucified Again commemorates political prisoners on the site, a man tortured not on a cross, but on those two symbols of Soviet oppression, the infamous sickle and hammer. Everyone looked forward to the day communism would fall. It just took far longer than anyone expected.
I'm one of those who left after the communists took over, and we were hoping that within 5 years such a regime could not last. For many years we were hoping to return back, but of course after decades and so on we had to give up, and now we are older generation with our security basically is in here, and it's very difficult to emigrate back. Many of us would love to do it, but we can't do it anymore.
One way Masaryk Town and the Masaryk Memorial Institute remain relevant to the Czech-Canadian community today is by continuing to publish Nový Domov, The New Homeland, a weekly with close to a 60-year history and a circulation of about 1,000. Julia Novotná of the Masaryk Memorial Institute explains that many families couldn't be Czech in Toronto without that link.
It's like family newspaper. Sometimes we even a little bit disappointed that people pass the newspapers to the friends and to the family members, extended family, instead of subscribing the newspaper. But it's for generations, right? And especially for older people, this is the only connection with the Czech Republic or Slovak Republic, because they are not on internet as younger generation. They love it.
Back with Jan Travniček at the end of our conversation, he was kind enough to show me around the main grounds. And back in February, this meant tramping around in the snow. On a hill overlooking the space, I couldn't help but wonder at all the hard work which had gone into the site over the years to keep it maintained. Traditionally, linden trees, the national tree of the Czechs, had been planted around the site in honor of notable figures. Jan Travniček is one of them. Scratching at the snow, we tried to uncover his plaque in the brilliant noonday sun.
It's actually a beautiful day here in Toronto, although all of the snow is melting and we're here in the middle of slush. It's almost spring.
in Toronto, you never know, tomorrow it could be 20 below. This year especially was very up and down.
It is just a tree, as you say, but it's a beautiful young sapling. Let me see if I can give you a hand.
Oh, it's maybe.
It should be here, but we may have been thwarted by the Canadian winter.
Yeah.
In the end, we did manage to find the plaque commemorating Mr. Travnicek's contributions. After more than 20 years as head of the Masaryk Memorial Institute and countless other endeavors in the Czech community, it is clear Mr. Travnicek can look back on Masaryk town with pride. I was glad to have seen it, even in winter. It may have been cold and abandoned at the time, but I imagine it will be full of many visitors again come the summer days.
And that edition of Czechs Today with Jan Wellinger has brought us to the end of today's programme. I'd just like to remind listeners that all our programmes are available in text and sound on Radio Prague's webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.
Já vzpomínám na San Francisco a sotva vím, jak vyhlížím oči tý světku je jen pár a mapa to je cár, jsem na tom hůz než z Paříží, přesto dál já vzpomínám na San Francisco, na zlatou pláž, na modrý dým, co v sobě máš, nevím. San Francisco, že se mi zdáš, ať tím či vdím. Já vzpomínám na San Francisco, na zlatou pláž, na modrý